Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to The Road to Success, or Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. As we continue talking about faith on the road to success, we must remember that success is not a definition of one person. Success is as personal as you are. What is success to you may not be success to me, and vice versa. Neither one of us is wrong, because you have ideas, you have minds, you have goals. You have a mission here on earth, and that is different than mine. Mine has changed some over the years, and that's acceptable. But we must understand that to those people that want to be entertainers, for example, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with being an entertainer. I think sometimes we look at it on too narrow a field. We want to be the person up there singing or performing. And there are so many other jobs and disciplines that are necessary in order to put all of that together. We sometimes have people that, we have people who write music. Sometimes it's the person that's doing the performance. Sometimes it's not. Many times, and most of the time, it is not. But what you must realize is that that person that is called to be that writer of excellent songs may have more than one artist performing at a high level, bringing in money, bringing in things. And oftentimes we don't know who has written a song, but that does not mean that you cannot perform. It just means that there's another avenue open to you that you may have never considered. We've got musicians in the background. On Motown Records, they had a studio band. It consisted of the same people and playing for different musicians. We sometimes don't see these things. We sometimes have to stumble over them. We have to trip over them before we realize that they are there. When it comes to writing, for example, and I've mentioned this before, some of us have a story inside of us that we don't know how to get out because we're not good at writing. We can enlist someone to help us do that. There are many ways to do that. You may be able to dictate into your computer or some other device and have someone else clean it up. Does that mean that what they write is absolute and gospel? No. You collaborate on this. You work back and forth. I don't like the tone of this. This is not what I'm trying to say. We need to expand on this. We need to take this out. These are things that happen. And so many of the written works that we see have been done in that manner. Does that mean that you're not a success? No, because your idea is what you want out in the universe. And you have been able to do it. And we must realize this. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about tonight was when we look at our goals, we look at what we're going to accomplish today, this week, this month, this quarter, this year. Oftentimes, we become frustrated with that list. And we're going to talk about how to make sure that you don't become frustrated with that list. Sometimes we are too complex in trying to be brief and simple. For example, a person decides that they're going to write a book. Fine, that is good, but there's a lot involved in writing that book. There is research sometimes that has to be done. There are other influences that we may have to take care of. It may be a grammatical thing. It may be word spelling. It may be whatever. Sometimes that calls for the enlistment of other things. And if we just have write a book, we will become frustrated before too long because the book is not there. We're working on some of the finer details. If it's a restaurant, the same thing. We have people who are great cooks, but know absolutely nothing about the books. The books. It's important that you have that. Do you have the time to spend to learn bookkeeping, to get a degree in bookkeeping? More than likely, the answer is no. But there are people that love doing that, and you can enlist their aid and support in preparing what's necessary. Why is it even necessary? Because you can have the best operating restaurant around. But when it comes up tax time, whether it's annually or whether it's quarterly, you need to be punctual in what you do. You need to have an understanding of how much money you're actually making, what it's costing for everything that you're using in your business. These things are extremely important, and yet we lump them under a category that does not allow us to develop the particular skills that we need in order to be successful. This is what I want to talk to you about today. We need to break it down to its simplest form. When we were in mathematics, we called it the least common denominator. And we looked for that particular device, or it's not a device, but that those particular numbers. And we need to do the same thing. If you understand the importance of that, then you have a possibility of a greater possibility of success. I remember when my mother was starting a restaurant. I remember some of the questions. I remember some of the challenges. Because we looked at things like steam tables and other devices. Do you buy the newest thing on the market? Or can something else substitute for it? Can you get a used one at a much lower price and have it function? If there is a problem with it, who's going to fix it? You have to have answers, or you should have answers to these questions. What happens if you make a large purchase and your refrigerator goes out? If you have no idea what you're doing, then that can be doom. I'm not trying to paint this out as a forbidden area, but these are things that need to be considered. And so we made a decision. We found a steam table that worked. It had a problem. There was a leak in it. But we knew people that could fix it. And we had it fixed, and it operated for years and years and years. Now, you realize in many cases that something like this may fail in the future. So what do? You get as much life out of it as you can. You maintain it as best you can, but then you have to have contingencies. You have to have a fund so that if something happens to it, it can either be repaired or replaced. There have been other restaurants that work on a basis of a rotational menu every week. Now, when I go to Greenville, South Carolina, I have a particular restaurant that I go to on Wednesdays because they have liver. Most places don't have it. I enjoy it. Some people don't like it. To me, success is having that liver. And I'll get two pieces, one to eat there, one to bring home with me. But that is my success. Other people could not stand the thought of it. And this is why it's so individual, why it's so personal. When it comes to music, I was looking at short video clips, and I see Mickey Guyton Who is Mickey Guyton? Mickey Guyton is a black female singer who is making waves in the country in Western France, because that's where her heart lies. Doesn't mean that she doesn't like other music. It doesn't mean any of those things. I had a friend that was so disappointed because he had gone to the record store, and this was many years ago, and he bought an album, because on the cover was a man, fairly good-looking man. He bought it. He had never heard of the guy, but he's taking a chance. He goes home and he plays the album. He packs the album back up and takes it to the store. They say, y'all got the wrong record in here, because it was Charlie Pride singing country and Western music. We sometimes get ourselves in a bunch like that, where we expect one thing and not another. I have a restaurant that I like very, very much, but they have changed hands many times because they did not know the information that I'm giving you about taxes, about bookkeeping, wonderful food, wonderful setup, friendly customer service. But we oftentimes gloss over things. What do I need to know today? What do I need to do today in order to get that done? If there is a class at the community college or some other institution that you can take, and it may not be at an institution like that. It may be a service group. For example, I was a member of the American Chemical Society, and there were many resources that were available to me through that organization. We had periodic meetings. There were people in other companies working on similar things. We exchanged information as best we could. There are some proprietary things that you need to maintain under hat, so to speak. But what you can, sometimes people can direct you towards books, works of the inner workings of parts of problems that you may encounter, maybe groups that can help you with what you're doing. And we need to do that, because in many cases, that's exactly what's happened. When we first integrated the company and facilities where I worked, this was one of the things that we noticed immediately. Not that people weren't willing to give, but we didn't know who, what, why, or how until we started getting into the community, listening to conversations, talking to people, sharing what we had, and then finding that there are willing people to know that you're not there just to sponge off of what they have done, give them no credit or anything. That's not the way to operate. So when you fill out your list today, tomorrow, the next time you fill out a list, and I hope that you're doing this very frequently, because I've seen changes. I've seen things that I put in my mind, or I think I've put in my mind, and I cannot go back to them, and I sometimes forget them completely. And maybe it's way down the road when I say, oh, that's what I was going to do. We cannot always trust that. This seems so elementary to a number of people. I wrote down things when I was in school. I don't want to be there again. But what you were doing was setting up the foundation of the principles that are going to guide you to greater heights, greater levels of success than you ever, ever imagined. Whether you are singing, playing football, playing basketball, or whether you are a scholar, it becomes important, because sometimes you will run across information as a scholar and say, I heard this, but where did I hear it from? It's important to make notes. It's important to understand so that you can get back to that point should you have a need to. I've talked about going to governmental offices, for example, and many times I have come away from there so frustrated. It's a wonder that I was able to make it out in one piece, because sometimes I'm dealing with a person that seems as if either they don't know what they're doing or they don't want to help you. I got to the point where before I would go into one of these meetings or talk with a particular office or seek some particular information, that I would make up a list of the questions that I needed answering. Yeah, once I got involved, sometimes it may have been necessary to skip over some of that information, but at least I had a roadmap of what I wanted to do. I had some idea. I couldn't get in there and ask one question and then leave if I had 10 going in. I needed to know more. Sometimes the information that you get there is finding out who is more willing to help you than others. I used to deal with Greenville County, and I tell you, at least it seemed to me, and the only thing I can work on is what I believe. I believe some of those people were holding me personally responsible for the fact that they had to give up Confederate Day and celebrate Martin Luther King Day. That is not the way that it has to be. I found that if I take a few minutes before I go in, I have a list of the questions. I don't mind taking that list in with me, because this is what I want. Sometimes people are more responsive when they know that you have at least given some thought to it, that they're not doing everything for you because you haven't done anything. Even if they do, I have an agenda that I want to fill, and I go in with this intent. I take a few moments outside and pray for enough serenity to deal with the situation, to at least keep me pleasant. I can't control what they do, but I can control what I do. When I look at the story of Ruby Bridges, who in, I believe, 1955, 56, 54, somewhere around in there, was a young black girl that integrated the New Orleans school system. Now, we give a lot of credit to Ruby Bridges, but I find that there are three other girls that integrated that system the same day. They went to a different school. Ruby went by herself. And she had four marshals with her, because many of the parents took their kids out of school. She was in a classroom by herself because none of the teachers would teach her. None of the other parents would allow their kid to be there. But one of the things that I found out later, I didn't know it at the time, but as the marshals would get ready to escort her in, she would have a prayer and pray for those people that were calling her every name in the book with vile demonstrations. There was one lady that brought a small casket with a black doll in it, and you know what that message was. There were other people saying that they were going to poison her food, and they didn't allow her to go to that school and eat anything that was not prepared at home because of this possibility. But what we find out is Ruby's teacher, who had taught in Boston, had taught black kids before, and they formed a very strong bond. In fact, after Ruby's graduation from school, not elementary school, high school, college, what have you, they did some speaking engagements together. And one day this lady looks out the window and she sees Ruby in front of these people taunting her, death threats. These are adults picking on a six-year-old kid, she noticed that Ruby's lips were moving, and it just scared the bejesus out of her. What is she doing? Is she going to get herself killed over something? And it wasn't until Ruby got into school and the teacher was talking to her about it. And it was in a very friendly, amicable tone. What were you doing? What were you saying? And Ruby told her that every morning before she crossed that line, she prayed for those people, prayed that their heart would be softened. Eventually, it began to work. But we sometimes see people and we get hung up. You say one cross word to me, and we will never resolve this, never, ever resolve this. I recall an incident when I had started work. I was working in a laboratory. One particular lady there was from the Deep South, And she had been heard making the comment, I'll never work with one of them, speaking of me. That could be a very hurtful phrase, but I did not let it linger. I treated her as I did anybody else. I treated them with respect of a coworker. I wasn't trying to do anything else but to do my job and work with the people that were there. Sometimes people don't know how to apologize. They don't know how to make up for what they had done. I didn't realize until much, much later, because no matter what she did, I treated her with the respect that I would give to any coworker. And she had a garden. She knew that I enjoyed spring onions, scallions, whatever you want to call them. And she brought me some out of her garden. She didn't have to tell me the whole story. I understood the story. But it's because of that calming down, because of approaching the problem on a reasonable level, that I was able to make that inroad. It was later that, fortunately, I did not respond to this call, because during this time, a later time, I worked in law enforcement while I was still working there. And I got a call of a deceased person, and it turned out to be her. I'm not sure how I would have reacted. I'm sure that it may have been an emotional thing, because I understood that she had crossed over in her thinking from before to from I'll never work with one of them to bringing me things out of her garden that she knew I liked. We can make this progress, but we have to, one, forgive people for what they do. Okay, I forgave them once. They did it again. 7 times 77, or whatever that number turns out to be. Sometimes we have to do that. But we can do that if we have a forgiving heart and if we understand what we are trying to do. We have to understand what we are trying to do. Many times it's because we don't accept the fact that God has blessed us with this desire. He has blessed us with the desire to make something happen. This is why it's necessary to keep track of why we are doing this. You say, I know why I'm doing it, so I don't have to remind myself. But it needs to be fresh in your mind every day. It needs to be renewed. We have people that are elderly who attend church every Sunday. It's a renewal of that faith. Does that mean that you can go 6 days and act like a heathen? No. But we still come together on that day and refresh ourselves. We have midweek services. Some people go, some people don't. But we must have in mind every day what is important, what we are doing, and we need to proceed on that path. So this writing down, being elementary, those are the things that are so important to us. We find that when we are aware of the small things and work on them, the large things come together. Tiger Woods was able to make a big, big recovery that many people didn't realize that he could make because of advice from his small goals lead to larger goals. And I want you to understand this as you are on your road to success. Every day, try to make progress. Try to make progress on your individual road to success. Help other people any chance you get. You never know when that person is going to be the one to bail you out. Those people that have hate in their heart are getting it from the wrong side. They're getting it from their enemy. I had a situation that I faced at work, and if I had allowed it to continue, I doubt that I would be here. I doubt that I would be alive, or if I were alive, that I would be of my right mind at this point. And it involved a supervisor making unsubstantiated claims against me. And it was digging at me. It was eating at me to the point that I knew if I proceeded down this path, it was not going to be good. You know, I could see the fact that I could take revenge out on him. But who was going to suffer? I was. My family was. People that knew me, people that loved me were going to be the ones to pay the price. Yeah, I would have a price. But it was only after I said, I've got to forgive this person, did any peace come back to me? Did any peace came back to me? Because I took that choice. It was a choice. I could have stayed on that path. I could have stayed on a man forever, but it was eating me up. It was eating me up inside out. I could have taken steps to make sure that he didn't enjoy himself anymore. But that is not what I was put here for. I was put here for a different purpose, a different mission. And with that, we have to be aware. We have to pursue. I had at one time a shell of a turtle. And I watched. I put it outside. And I put it outside for one purpose. That's so the ants could take the meat off of that skeleton. And I'd look at them, and I'd watch them. And I was intrigued. Each one would come up and take a small piece. At least it was small because they were small. To them, it was probably a giant hunk, but they worked at it. They worked at it. This is what I see for you. Working at it. Taking a little bit here, a little bit there. Success is a direction, not a speed. While we want to get there as quickly as possible, we have to make sure that we shore up our meaning, our understanding, our foundation for the business. My mother ran this business for over 40 years and realized how much she loved it because I had asked her, when are you going to retire? Well, when you get out of school. I got out of high school. Well, when you get out of college, I got out of college. Well, when you are married and gone, I got married and gone. But she still stayed there. It even surprised me that she would take 2 weeks off to come visit us every year. And we would go there 2 weeks. But what it did was establish a relationship. When you are on the road to success, you need and can value relationships with people. They don't have to look like you. They don't always have to do the same things. Because I got into different groups of people. I got into motorcycle riders, over-the-road motorcycle riders. And we would often, on a weekend, drive 200, 300, 400 miles to an encampment and back by Monday morning or Sunday. And this was great fun. You need to have relaxation. This is why I talk to you about when you're planning your schedule. If you have a kid and it's important that you be there, I'm telling you it's important that you be there, that you put that on your calendar first. Don't try to fit it in later. As soon as you can get it, put it on there. You make room for those important facets of your life, the important facets of your life. And sometimes we have to slow down in order to be sure that we get maximum benefit out of what we're doing. I will be giving a speech during the month of April. And so I made preliminary plans, but I'm calling today. In fact, I called today to make sure that everything that we need is being planned, that we don't run up until the last day and have a major glitch. This is what you have to do sometimes. You may have somebody working with you. If we have this bookkeeper or something that's working with you, you may have to touch base with them before the deadline to make sure that things are progressing well. This is one of the things that come up. Sometimes we don't want to do this because we don't want to appear pushy. Don't want to appear pushy. We are willing to give up success for failure on making sure that something works. After a while, you may be able to accept it, but I still think it is much better to stay on top of it from the very, very beginning so that you don't end up the last week in a frazzle, just beating yourself to death, getting things done that should have been done 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead of time. Those programs, those movements that take place that look so effortlessly only do so because people prior to. Sure, there are things that happen on the night of. I'm in a Toastmasters group, and we have a great group of people. They can cover for people that are missing, but we encourage people to let us know as soon as possible so that we can get this covered. And speaking of that, Toastmasters is an excellent organization because not only does it teach you to speak on whatever subject, the program that they have now is much superior to what they used to have, and so it's helpful, but also leadership. You get an opportunity to fill a particular position for a year or maybe longer, but you have that opportunity. And so this helps you in more ways than one. It's a two-pronged organization. You have leadership roles. I have had several of those roles. And I took them because I understand that the people that I'm with and around have been in the same spot that I've been in. If you want to operate a business, I suggest it for you because at some point in time, you're going to have to pitch your idea. Pitch your idea. You're going to have to solicit customers. You're going to have to solicit places to operate the business, how it's run, whatever. You need the leadership experience. You don't always have to be the spokesman. You don't always have to be out front. There are ways that many things can be done. Sometimes people can be hired to do the things that you just are deathly against doing. But you get the experience of being in that leadership role. You don't have to be the face of the product. When you see the commercial that's popping through my head right now, the Gain commercial with Alice, who is just so enthralled with the scent of whatever the product is that she is the face of, that's what you look at. We see people like Shaquille O'Neal. He is a spokesman. He is outgoing. He evidently enjoys it. And he gets out and does it. What's to say that your neighbor couldn't fill that spot? There are people that have made fabulous amounts of money just doing that. The role that you take may not be the one that is the face of a product. Or it may be. Maybe that's what you want to do. Only get there by exposing yourself to growth. Exposing yourself to growth. Sometimes it is awkward. Awkward. I can remember the first time I went skydiving. Oh, man, my heart was in my throat. I'm afraid of heights. I'm in an airplane. We're 4,000 feet above the earth. That's almost a mile. And the door opens. And I have to get in that doorway and dangle my feet out, get on a small platform, hold on to the strut of the airplane, and turn a loose. I was not prepared for that. And as afraid as I was, for some reason there was a calming effect when I got up there. The breeze going by. And while you're however high in the sky, there's nothing like a building that gives you the illusion of height other than the ground. And so many of the things that I was afraid of, in fact, I can remember, I believe at the Hyatt Regency in Houston, I was on the 28th floor, and the elevator was glass. And I had to watch either the lobby or the street outside shrink as this elevator took off like a rocket. The first day I was there, I was very, very hungry before I would venture out and get on that elevator again. But I became more and more comfortable with it, as comfortable as a person can get doing something that at one point absolutely terrified them. It changed my life in so many ways. When I was working with my father on construction, he used to build houses in the summer. He would get on the joists or the rafters and just walk along. I'm like, he's on the floor. Me, I am wanting to hold on to one of those things like a horse's neck and afraid to move. But a lot of that went away. And it went away because I began to have more confidence in myself. Sometimes that's what you need. You need that confidence in yourself. Sometimes we're feeling vulnerable because we don't know everything that we may need to know. This is why it's important to talk to people that have been there. Find out what they feared or what their greatest problem was and solve it. Solve their problem. Solve your problem. Sometimes you can't solve it. Sometimes you need their assistance to help you find the solution. Speak of George Washington Carver. He never took a book into his laboratory. Why? Because he was prepared. He got up at 4 o'clock every morning and had quiet time with his creator. the Lord, and he would study his books, and he knew what he wanted to do when he went in. He wasn't following a cookbook, but he was in a position and in a mindset that he could solve problems. Most of us have absolutely no idea of some of the problems that he solved. We know of him as having worked with the peanut and produced over 300 products. But when you asked him if he did his greatest work with the peanut, he'll flat out tell you no. And when you see what he did with the soybean, when you see what he did with other problems, solutions that came up, you'll understand why. We have been very limited in what we know about this great scientist. Other scientists have been able to do the same thing. Many times it looks like you're in over your head. But when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I believe this very strongly. And it does not have to be a professor at a college. It may be somebody that you know that gives you a tidbit of information here, a tidbit of information there. But it fills in a vital hole. It's like you're traveling on the interstate and there's a pothole in it. Just about everybody's going to hit that pothole. But you take a repair person, they come along, they fix it, and it works then and then on. It may be that the next time you come to a pothole, you recognize it and can take actions to avoid damaging your vehicle. As they were talking on TV today, after having gone through this winter, many roads are beat up. They are beat up, full of potholes. And the guy is talking about something that makes sense, but many of us don't think about it. If you cannot avoid a pothole, at least slow down. You may save your tire. You may save your rim. You may save other vulnerable equipment on your vehicle. This comes from experience. It comes from discussions. Write down as much as you can. And when I say write it down, I find that writing is best because you get more parts of your body involved in it. But if you can't, like I did today, I had a comment come on the radio, and I made a voice recording of it, short, less than a minute. But now I know that information is there. I can go back and get it. And this is why it's so important to do that. When you have that brilliant idea, you might think that you'll never forget it. But if I had a dollar for every brilliant idea that I would never forget, then I'd be somewhat rich. We can't always do that. If I had put down the idea while it was fresh in my mind, taking my phone out, hitting one button that says record, and recording my thoughts, recording where I was, recording as much information as I could about that, then the fact of it getting lost in the cloud somewhere is diminished. This, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is the difference between success. When we talk about school, we sometimes are only interested in getting our homework done and sometimes don't even pay attention to that. If we would take a time and devote to getting that work done, understanding what we went through today and looking forward to what we can know tomorrow, if you could read a few pages ahead every day, you would be a much better student. You would improve your grade 1 to 2 letters. 1 to 2, just by doing this. We have people that are making C's and D's, even F's, because they're not interested. They get behind. And this is one of the important skills that we need to make sure that we understand, both in our kids and in ourselves. If we don't read, and by reading I mean There are the traditional ways of reading a book, reading a magazine, but there are also ways of watching videos, of studying materials in various ways. And some of us learn completely different. I remember on my motorcycle, I'm not a mechanic, at least not a good one. And what I would do is I had three manuals on my particular model. And sometimes I have to read all three of those manuals to understand. And sometimes there would be highlights to say, this is a critical step. Somewhere else, they may talk about the same thing, not in with the emphasis there, but on something else. It was sometimes that helped me because I didn't have a dealer in my town for quite a while. But I was able to do it. And then I found out that there was a group that did work, and they helped each other. They would do everything from oil changes to tune-ups. And if you got hung up on a particular spot, somebody was there to help you. This is still possible. It is still possible. But we cannot be all about ourselves. Sometimes it's a group advance. It's a group advance. Sometimes we can look up something on our favorite site, YouTube, for example, Google, some of the others that are there. There is no one and no exclusivity to it. And sometimes you may understand it with one. I didn't understand it with one. Sometimes it took all three, plus the help of someone. Yeah, I would take my bike down, and we would do things like oil change. That's fairly simple. But then sometimes I would get hints on even that carried me through. I need to lubricate the O-ring or do something that would make it much, much better. You don't want to over-tighten, but you want to tighten fully. Sometimes these things are difficult to communicate. But when you have the opportunity to ask questions and to write down or jot down the answers, it lasts for a while. It's like taking and teaching a person or giving a person a fish. You feed them for a day. But you teach them to fish, and you feed them for a lifetime. They may even improve upon the technique that you told them. Sometimes, and more than likely, they're willing to share that with you because you shared with them what they got. It's not going to happen every time because we have some selfish people. We have greedy people. But you don't want to be that person. You want to be willing to share. And in return, I think that the benefit of much of this is that we can share and we will receive in relationship or in proportion to what we have given. And people can feel good helping other people. Look at our teachers. Many of them are there, and they're giving of themselves day in and day out. And many of us, because we went to school much earlier in our lives, long time ago, don't realize what it's like to be in a classroom today. Many of us don't have an idea. We send our kids to school. Our kid would never lie. I'm sure people said that about me. But I was there. I know that I would do almost anything to save myself from embarrassment, from being called out, from back in the days when corporal punishment was not frowned upon, whatever. There were many things that would cause me to do that. But we get into a situation now. Teachers are almost afraid to teach because somebody is going to object. There was some school district that rejected a Dolly Parton song because it mention the rainbow and something else in it. But when you are dealing one-on-one with people, understand that you are privy to a resource that most people aren't. You guide it to them many times, because when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Will appear for you. I don't care what the circumstances look like, because when I started my work as a chemist, there were many times when I was the only one in that laboratory. And I went in expecting that people wouldn't even speak in the morning. That was my fault. I found that once they realized that I was a regular person, that I would be accepted as such. I've had plenty of people say, well, you're not like the rest of them. The rest of who? Well, you know, they were afraid to even use the term. And so what happened? Let that go. Let that roll off you like water off of a duck's back. Sometimes it is difficult, very, very difficult. And we're not the only ones that feel that way. We are scared of them, and they're scared of us, because we don't talk. We don't establish relationships. And this is not good, not good at all. But when we begin to look at people, and sometimes we have to approach a person more than once, because we have to break through that exterior. It reminds me of discussions that we sometimes have on race. People don't want to bring up anything because they think that you're going to jump up and yell and down and shout and accuse them of this, that, and the other. But we've got it wrong, because we were taught wrong. We were led to believe that almost every white person was a slave owner. Not true. Only about 2%, in some cases as high as 6%. But even in the bastions of segregation, there were people that did not go along with it, just as there were people in the North that did go along with it. We have to plot this, our path through this field, by ourselves, for ourselves. And sometimes that means swallowing our pride. I don't mean that you have to be a doormat. You don't. But people to people make strong bonds, strong connections, and they often endure. But you must be true to your word. You must be true to who you are. You know, we have spent some time together, and it is my pleasure to provide this information to you so that you can achieve your success. That's what my success is built on. On this program, I want to give you information that allows you to be successful. I'm not doing it for the money, because I don't get paid for this. I do it because I love it, because I love you, because I know what one person can do to improve the world. The program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. And that faith comes from a deep belief in yourself. Don't let anybody tell you that you have not done a good job, that you don't come from good stock. I don't care who, where, what, or how you are. I don't care your race. I don't care your gender. I don't care your religion. I know that you have been created by the greatest creator this universe has ever seen. And it's that information that I want to put you forward. Have you believe in yourself? Don't overcome yourself by trying to make it more difficult. Break it down into its smallest component. Put that down. And don't put down so many that you can't get it, that you become disillusioned. Maintain that positive attitude. That is what comes from that creator. We come to you every Thursday at 7 p.m. And the name of the program is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. I also do a program on Sundays called Did You Know? And it deals with people, places, and events that can inspire and motivate you. I ask you or invite you to tune into that program on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. I think that we will all be blessed from this. Also, check out the schedule for Crown Talking Drums, the other programs that come on other days that will serve you very well. It's been my pleasure to be with you for this time. Hope that you'll join us again next week. Hope that you'll share the program with other people. We are heard around the world through this internet radio station. And I pray for all of you. Ask you to do the same for me. We're all brothers and sisters in this battle for success. And together, we will achieve it. This is John C. Abercrombie. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.